All of us have questions about life, I would think. I surely do, and have always been intrigued by what I want to call the larger questions of life. Sometimes these questions have intrigued me simply because I was curious. Sometimes I've been intrigued by them because I was desperate. But always I've been intrigued by these larger questions of life. What am I doing here? What's this all about? How does the game go? What are the rules? And how can I play to win, frankly? And for that matter, what is winning in this game anyway? How does all that work? How does all that fall together? In February of 1992, I was asking myself those questions. Because nothing in my life was working for me. My relationship with my significant other was falling apart right in front of my face. And I couldn't hold it together, it didn't seem, no matter what I tried or what I did. I couldn't make it work, you know. And it was very distressing to me, as I know you can understand. For one thing, I thought this was the relationship that was going to last me for the rest of my life. And now it was falling apart right in front of me. And it wasn't the first relationship with a significant other to disintegrate right in front of my eyes. Nor was it the second. Nor was it the third. Nor the fourth. And so I realized that there was something I did not know about relationships, the knowing of which could change everything. At the same time in my life, my career was falling apart as well. I didn't know how to turn that around either. I was living a life of quiet desperation in a job I no longer enjoyed, doing something that made no sense to my soul at all. And not coincidentally, I'm sure, my health began going downhill as well, and it took me almost 5 years to recover that. And so nothing was working for me on any level, and now it's February of 1992, and I am really, really upset about all of this, and I'm threatening to move into chronic depression about it. And one night I couldn't deal with it anymore, and I threw back the covers after tossing and turning for 2 or 3 hours, unable to get any sleep, threw back the covers and marched out of the bedroom into the larger part of the house, headed directly for my place of solace and wisdom, where I always go in the middle of the night when I'm yearning for answers. But there was nothing decent in the refrigerator that night, and so I wound up on the couch instead. And there I sat, stewing in my own juice, as it were, furious with, I don't know what, life, God, I don't know. Myself, maybe, for making such a mess of it, I don't know. But I did know that I needed answers, and I needed them right then and right there, or I didn't want to go on anymore. I didn't want to play anymore. And I saw a yellow legal pad on the coffee table in front of me, in the moonlight coming through the window over my shoulder, and I flicked on the lamp, discovered a pen lying there on the table alongside the sofa, and I thought, well, whatever, I'll write out some of my frustration. So I began writing a letter to no one in particular, an angry letter to God, if you will. Now, I don't know how it is with you when you're angry, but when I'm angry, I write really big, you know. So there I am writing. What does it take? Turning the page. To make life work. And what have I done to deserve a life of such continuing struggle? And what are the rules here? Somebody tell me the rules. I'll play. Just tell me the rules. Honest to God, I'll play. Just tell me how it goes. And after you tell me the rules, don't change them. And I wrote like that for 15 or 20 minutes, and then I put the pen down. I kind of got it all out, you know. It's 4:30 in the morning, trying to do this quietly. But as I put the pen down, or really I should say attempted to, I noticed that the pen would not leave my hand. And I found myself bringing the pen back to the tablet. And that's when I heard a wonderful voiceless voice that said to me, "Neil, do you really want answers to all of these questions? Or are you just venting?" And I said, "Well, you know, I am venting, but if you have answers, I'd sure as hell like to know what they are." And the next thought I received was, "You are sure as hell about a lot of things, but wouldn't you rather be sure as heaven?" And I'm thinking, now what is that supposed to mean? But then I was given the answers to the questions I asked. And to other questions I hadn't even dreamed of asking. And the answers came to me with such fullness, and I want to almost say with such elegance, that I felt compelled to write them down. I wanted to save them, you see, for my later review. And so I filled up my yellow legal pad, and I watched what I was writing, and it brought up other questions for me. I found myself actually arguing with, you know, in some cases, the material, and or asking further questions. How can that be? I don't understand. What do you mean? And so I was given explanatory information and more detail, and questions came from that, and answers came to those questions, and so on and so forth, until I realized that I had been writing this way on the tablet for almost 3.5 hours, and I was conducting an actual dialogue on paper with some unseen source, some force, some place of wisdom that I later chose to call God. And that has produced 3 extraordinary books, which have come to be called the Conversations with God Trilogy. Now, I never intended to write a book, and I want to tell you that. I was having a private experience between me and my yellow legal pad, and I never even imagined that it would one day become a book. Oh, I was told in the dialogue, this will one day become a book, but like some other things in the dialogue, I didn't right off the top believe that. In fact, my first reaction was, oh, sure, you and 100 other people are going to send your middle-of-the-night mental meanderings to a publisher who's going to say, thank you, we'll publish this at once. But in fact, that's essentially what happened. And so I have to tell you that when God says something, watch out. Because she doesn't kid around. And there's nothing that you have to do but just get the hell out of the way. I mean that literally. I mean get the hell out of the way. And step aside. Because the moment has arrived and the experience is coming through. And there's nothing that you have to do. It's not a question of what you're doing. It's a question of what you're being. See, if you're like me, you have spent a number of years in your life, perhaps the largest portion of your life, imagining that what it was about, actually, in life is what you were doing. And that if you did the right stuff in the right way, the way we were all taught, then you would eventually have done the right thing and you will have reaped your right reward. Only after you've had a few miles on your tires and a couple of gray hairs start showing up, do most of us understand, oh, I see, it doesn't necessarily work that way. Oh, I see, I've spent years doing this and doing that, doing this and doing that, doing this and doing that, and all I've got is a great big pile of doo-doo. Oh, I get it. You can't get from where you are to where you want to be on the path of doingness. Oh, I see. And that's rule number one that I asked for. Somebody tell me the rules of the game. I'll play. Just tell me the rules. Rule number one, you can't get there by something that you're doing. You can't get there through doingness. When I was a child, I was told, not necessarily specifically, but in general, the world gave me this message, that I could get to where I wanted to go along a path which was fairly clearly defined in life. And that path was like this: have, do, be. In other words, when I have enough time, I'll be able to do the thing called take a vacation, and I will be the thing called rested. When we have enough money, we can do the thing called retire, and we can be the thing called happy. When I have enough love, I can do the thing called sex, and I can be the thing called tired. Satisfied. I'm sorry. And so I was traveling this path from havingness through doingness to get to where I wanted to be. Now, one thing I did have right about all of this, what I had right about all of this, was that I was, in fact, clear what I was attempting to experience in life. I was attempting to experience a state of beingness. I simply didn't know how to get there. But I was clear what I was up to. All of us are, whether we know it or not. As a matter of fact, even if you don't know it, I will tell you this. Every choice and decision you make, every action you undertake, everything that you think, say, and do, you think, say, and do, whether you do it consciously or not, as an attempt to get to a place of beingness. Every single choice you make, every single decision you have ever taken, everything you've ever said to someone else, or thought, or done, has been simply a device through which your soul hoped to create for itself the experience of being something or another. Safe, secure, happy, rested, creative, compassionate, or whatever. Your soul is seeking to experience these states of beingness, which might also be described as aspects of divinity. Your soul seeks to know itself as these things in its own experience. These things which make up the totality of God. And the only way that your soul knows how to have that experience and to create it is to move from havingness, when I have enough of this, that, or the other, through doingness, then I can do this, that, or the other, to beingness, then I will at last get to be that. For this is what we've been told. No one has ever explained to me what I'm now about to explain to you. That our life and our bodies and the experiences thereof have simply been created for us to use as tools with which to have the experience of who we truly are. Tools which will allow us to be what in fact we have chosen to be. We are, it turns out, human beings, not human doings. Now, no one ever told me that the experiences of my life and my body itself were tools in the creation of states of beingness. In all the catechism classes I went to, the priest never said that. In all the biblical passages I read, the writers never told me that. And so, I didn't know what I was up to here. I was trying to lead a good life, but I didn't even know how I would define a good life. I was hoping to produce a good outcome, but I didn't know what I was up to. Then I had my conversation with God, and it was made clear to me that all I am up to, this soul of mine, is seeking to experience the various aspects of divinity itself in, as, and through me, in order that God might know itself in its own experience. For God is the sum total of all of us, and nothing else. Nothing more, and nothing less. We are it. We're the only game in town.